Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Welcome to the live Shatter broadcast. This is for June the 9th, 2011, but we're actually going to air it on June the 10th, Friday night. If you're going to look at the archives, you're going to find this particular topic listed under June the 9th, 2011, on a Thursday night. But again, we're airing it on Friday the 10th, and I want to welcome you to the series this week, Sexual Decadence and the End of Man, subtitled Demonic Influence, Addictions, Hellbound Defiance, and Biblical Prophecy. One of the reasons we bring this in is not only because the past in Old Testament occultism, there is a connection with sex ritual and sexual addiction, demonic interaction, bloodlines. Well, we can go back to the Nephilim, the B'nai HaElohim that came and took the women and discuss that issue. It does seem clearly that fallen entities do have an interest in sexual connection and even genetic manipulation, altering, and the creation, well, of something quite different. But we're going to talk about, in this particular subject, astral or psychic sexual attack. We're calling it rape in the second degree. How sexual attack occurs in sleep paralysis and in predatory dark practices. Now, I got to read something to you here real quick. This comes off of one of the astral plane, astral projection websites. By the way, there's well over a million, hundreds of thousands of websites that deal with the subject of astral projection, astral sex, psychic sex, relating to entities out there, on and on and on. I mean, there's so much information. We're going to give you some of that along the way, and we're going to try to be very careful that we do not give out materials. I don't want to give out websites and ultimately books and materials that deal with this stuff from the other side. I really don't. But I do need to bring exposure to some of these things. If you remember in the book of Revelation, where it talks about how there are those in a certain city, the seven churches, it talks about one of those where there are those who did not know Satan's deep secrets. Now, there is that sense of even way back then, that secret teaching, secret hidden knowledge. And the Greek word gnosko, the idea there is there are those who didn't know it by experience. So we're trying to share information based on objective observation, maybe interactions in spiritual warfare, but definitely not in actual experience in any way. I can go back to my experience under Golden Buddha at the temple, Hop Sing Temple, learning from a master how to leave my body, how to do all these things. And I'm going to tell you that it's very similar to the Monroe techniques for astral projection, which we'll come to in a few moments. But I got to read you something. This is very shocking. Take a listen to this material here. Now, I can't give the name of the person because they put up the posting anonymously. This is an astral projector. This is one that knows astral projection and astral sexual relationships. And I'm going to say again, to pastors, spiritual leaders, and to Christians, it's not a subject to avoid in the sense of objective knowledge of what to deal with, because this is growing. I mean, you've got more people involved with this than humanism, maybe atheism, I don't know. But you've got more people engaged in this supernatural, spiritually oriented engagement with entities, non-human entities. Now, I'm going to say off the bat, and you got to know that I'm a believer in Christ, we're talking about the demonic realm. Now, biblical definition, demonic, given the idea of these dark spirits, giving their true, I mean, their a name to them in the sense of their true nature. But they are entities. They have mind, will, powers. We're talking about fallen angels. We're talking about the demonic. We're talking about, well, those powers. Some would say the energies, but you can't have the energy projecting and experienced in some sense without the entity being there. The entity projects the energy. The entity looks for, well, I would say human open doors. Passivity is a big one. We'll talk about that in a moment. But listen to this shocking, I think it is shocking in a lot of ways. Here's a woman talking about astral projection, astral sex, and what occurs. As she's putting her child down, her little baby down to take a nap, she's going to go take an astral nap, she says. And so she's learning how to go passive and relax everything and on until finally she gets up out of her body. She goes through, in her discussion, she goes through a tunnel and everything's blurry. And then now I'm going to quote, and I'm quoting again off of this website, the astral plane, but it's quoting a person. There's no name listed, so I can only tell you that it's anonymous. But here it is, quote, there were other presences. Now, again, this is her observation being out there in the astral, they call the astral realm. There were other presences around the church. They felt male. I'm having what I can best describe as astral sex with one male, then a whole group of them. This was distinctly different from physical sex. It was wholly an energy thing. I didn't resist at all, but rather was completely absorbed in the experience, and they explained what that experience was like. I don't want to do that. I go on with a quote. My attitude regarding this shocked me upon reflection. I began to wonder if there was an astral equivalent to AIDS and some other STDs and decided I'd better not think about it or they might become real for me. Now, you got to think about the thinking of this individual. A lot of the new agents, the idea is, you know, if you think it, you create it. Intention creates things, things like that. But they're asking and they're fearing the issue about getting some kind of astral disease like AIDS or other STDs. They're saying that they were astraling out but hovering around some kind of church and there were male entities. And then she's having sex with one of them and then a whole group of them. Group astral sex. It goes on and I quote, at one point the entities lifted me up by what was like my wrists and ankles. And it was like I was made some kind of a liquid that was heavier than air, but much lighter than flesh. There were definite physical laws in effect, but they were different than what we normally deal with. This writer, an experiencer of astral sex, goes on to say, I quote, I had the sudden thought, oh my God, I've left my baby napping at the front door, and the front door is unlocked. I have to get home. I was not frightened or even worried. It was almost a mock concern. A voice, listen now, a voice from physical reality was creeping in. Next thing I knew, I was hopping, flying down the sidewalk towards my house. While there was a lot of snow here in reality at the time, it had melted on this side, other dimension. And I thought that was odd. I was trying to hurry home, but I hadn't quite gotten the hang of how to move about in this jello-like body. They call it the astral body. I'm going on with the quote now. So I was doing this little hop, fly, 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 hop, fly, hype, you know, maneuver. I did muse that this world seemed very comical to anyone who saw me. Next thing I knew, I was back in my bed, but I still had no sensation of my body. I go on with the quote. Then I thought I had opened my eyes. I sensed a presence in the hallway. I realized that my eyes weren't really open. However, because my vision wasn't normal, my husband was on a return flight from Europe at the time of this nap, and I thought, oh my goodness, he's home. But it's so early. Next thing I knew, I was on my couch. Again, she's going to have sex. She's having sex with somebody. And I go on with the quote, but I could only see bits of the ceiling and the room as I tried to swing that tunnel vision towards the being I was with. Let me say it again, quote, towards the being I was with. That's the entity that's having sexual relationship with her. This is kind of an astral thing that it's almost now physical. She goes on to say, quote, his head was on my chest and I touched his hair, I thought. Now, here's where she says, now listen to this. Listen. It's, and she names her husband. It's, you know, she's saying, it's my husband. I felt like it was my husband and therefore felt fine having this sexual relationship with this entity being. Now I quote again this woman, but then I had the thoughts that this was a trick. And whoever it was just making me think it was my husband so I would have sex with them. Listen to what she says at the very end. I wasn't really too concerned with who it was, but was happy to think it was my husband. Now, is that adultery? What is that? Now, there you have a married woman, puts her baby down for a nap. She goes to take a nap. Obviously, she's a practitioner of astral projection, astral sexual experiences. She's out there in some way experiencing sex with what she thinks is a male entity and then a group of them. And then she's realizing she's back home, back in her house, there her body. She's half in and half out of it. And another entity, a being, is having relationship with her. And then she's thinking it's her husband. Then she's thinking it's a trick, but she didn't really care. It had to have been a trick because her husband was on a flight home. So this entity is having sexual relationship with a woman. She wasn't too concerned because at least she was thinking that it was her husband. Wild. I read probably eight months ago, a book called Astral Sex, The Art of Astral Projection by Sapphire. Matter of fact, Mastering Time Travel. I've read a number of Sapphire's books where the astral projection is very similar. Listen, remote viewers, very similar to remote viewing. The idea of, looking at the pyramids and going underneath, getting the secret knowledge, time travel, past, present, future, all the rest, the Akashic records, getting the data, getting the information, astraling out and looking at cases and all kinds of stuff, looking at history. But also, this includes detailed information about astral sexuality. Now, this is the interesting thing. I'm looking at a webpage. It says well over a million. I'm looking at, let me just read some of them. I mean, anybody can do this. It's on the web nowadays. That's why, I'm going to say so much, but I don't want to give too many things, like the website about how to find your angel and have sex with your angel. Really? An angel of God? Really? The only thing we have in history and in extra-biblical history is the demonic realm dealing with raping humanity and what some people would call the alien entities, which I think, again, are demonic entities, also kidnapping, raping individuals. Well, The Art of Astral Sexual Projection Sex, there's another title, and there's a course out there on the issue, training courses, ebooks, all kinds of material. Let me tell you something when it comes to sexual rape by demonic spirits. By the way, if you're brand new to this this broadcast, Shadow the Darkness Live, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time. The website, www.shadowthedarkness.net, and this is Russ Dizdar. Welcome to all those that are listening by satellite radio and by internet radio worldwide and by the archives. And I'm very sure this will be archived down in quite a few places. We're doing this entire training this week, or course, or some have called it a training course. They've written me notes to say thank you. It's a series on this topic that we're going to connect to a course that we have done that we are re-uploading that has about 15 hours. And the title of the course is Sexual Decadence in a Man. It deals with the gift of God, and it deals with the good side. But it also deals with a lot of the deviant, the decadence, the sin addictive issues in this field. And it deals with the current growing moral decadence. It deals with biblical prophecy telling us that in direct corresponding to the rise of demonic manifestation of the world, demonic writings, demonic experiences, supernatural dark experiences, cults, the occult, Satanism, bloodline Luciferianism, all the rest, along with the massive unprecedented rise in that area, is this massive experience of individuals claiming that entities have raped them, have come into the rooms, and for many of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands worldwide that have experienced sleep paralysis, it can be one of a few things. One, it can be direct demonization. Demons that were already in a house, already in a room, already in a place that had doorways that were opened up. You moved into a place, they're already there, and something tries to attack you. Now, my wife shared in a story that I did with her live on the air, and I think she also shared it on one of her broadcasts. If not, I'm going to ask her to share it. But she has shared it live in a discussion with me on sleep paralysis. In this very issue, it's on the blog talk, the Ragged Edge Archives. Now, she shares about being, she was going to go work for her sister-in-law just for the weekend to help out and get, you know, get some pay and work and do some stuff. They had hotel rooms, individual hotel rooms for all the individuals. So she always goes to a hotel room and she's putting, Purell around and spraying the room a little bit with Lysol and that kind of stuff. She also prays over her room. But at night, she tells the experience, now this is my wife, of all of a sudden in the middle of the night, she feels like something's fluttering in the room, fluttering like wings. She wondered if some kind of bird or something got into the room, but something was fluttering, but it was bigger. And all of a sudden, she felt something touch her back, and then something was on her back, and there was like a fluttering of wings. She instantly bolted up and rebuked it, commanding it to leave. And trying to, you know, clear the air in Jesus' name. Now, everything stopped. She turned over, and it started to happen again. This time, she got up even bolder and stronger and commanded it to get out. And she did spiritual warfare prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus. And she really unleashed on it. She told me about it the very next day. She shared in that, you know, discussion that we did on the radio program, The Ragged Edge, probably over a year ago. It's in the archives on that program. She tells me about that, how weird that experience was, and that her spiritual discernment was, it was something that was already there because what was done in that room. And but she was able to stop whatever it was, and but she tells me what she thought and felt, the intent. Now, some would call that sleep paralysis, and that's why I'm saying that's kind of a psychological term. We might need to refer to this as incubus succubus, sexual rape by demonic spirits. By the way, on the website, shadowthedarkness.net, in the series that we do, and the past series in the archives, we have the PDF file study notes, today's study notes, with the title Astral Sexual Attack. Sexual rape by the demonic spirits, that's where we're at right now. B, sexual rape by demonized human beings in occult practices or all astral sex. And then C, how to get rid of all this. So that's what we're dealing with today. And again, I put up the prayers in advance wanting all of you to know that God loves you, God seeks you, God knows you. God, nobody wants you more than God in Christ. And his love, his power, his grace, his mercy, and the gift of everlasting, well, I like to call it indestructible immortality, is found in Jesus. Jesus Christ, the one who died at the cross, buried, rose from the dead, blasted apart the finality of death, and comes with love to forgive us, to break the sin nature, the death code, Satan's lies and presence and so forth. I pray that you know Jesus. I pray that during this 1 hour that God will move upon your life to be saved if you're not. Many of you listening to this because you've had experiences in this area. So I'm praying that in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God will teach you and help you, that Jesus will deliver you. And I ask that the prayers prayed now will have effect in your life the moment you begin to listen. That Jesus and his power and his delivering grace and his protection will literally fall over you and lead you to also renounce any and all practices, clear the air around you, know the authority of Christ as a real believer in Christ, if you are one. And maybe you can use this to help out. I also say this, and I was a pastor 30 years, and we've been out in the field like this about 4 years, and we we have noticed over all these years, the church is horribly silent on the good side of sexuality. All there are little cliches that are being preached on, nothing in massive depth. And when it comes to the occult side, the demonic side, and the decadence and the demonization of sexuality, which is not only part of the past, vastly a part of the present, and will become a massive element in the end of days. Why aren't, again, may I say to the leadership, let's unleash the revelation of God in the context of what's going on. Let's help people get free. Let's help people enjoy the gift of God, sex, as God intended, pleasure, procreation, as part of a relationship. But let's also be unashamed to address the sexually decadent, dangerous, lethal, addictive practices that obviously the demonic realm has entered into. And like this woman that I just read about, she doesn't know anything about God, nothing about Jesus Christ, Spirit of God in her life. So she can't say anything about discerning what this is. Obviously, like many others, she's read the materials, got a hold of the stuff, began to practice. Now, let me stop for a moment to say this. There will be those that say, well, I don't believe in out-of-the-body experiences. That's up to you. There's no question biblically that Ezekiel left his body, that John left his body, that Paul left his body. In those cases, by the hand of God, by the Spirit of God, there was supernatural enablement. God did it to show them things, to reveal things. Ezekiel, it occurred a number of times. John in the Isle of Patmos, it occurred by the Spirit of God in giving the revelation of future human history. And it is amazingly so specific and detailed. Reading the future by reading the book of Revelation in the biggest events in human history. Now, millions around the world, maybe you too, feel that in the air. You know what's coming. But it's the scripture that tells you what it is that is coming and how to prepare and how to make sure you're saved, you know Christ. Now, I'm looking at another website, Spiritual Quest. It's all about sex, astral sex, energy sharing, and on and on. So we've got to begin with this issue by saying that the future tells us that in accordance with the work of Satan, this operating work of Satan on a global scale, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles will be done to deceive those who are perishing. But it's not just kind of its signs, wonders, and miracles. There's a fourth element. Did you read that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, and in every sort of, the Greek word, moral, decadent, even sexual deviancy, perversions. There will be a rise in moral perversions, moral, decadent addictions, that darken human understanding, that cloud and blind the mind, and that opens humans wider and broader to deeper spiritual deception and demonic attachment, if not opening doors to demonic possession. In this discussion today about astral sex and astral sex attack, rape in the second degree. Now, there are those, many of those, and some of you that might be saying, like this woman that I read already, and there's other articles online. And the articles online, the articles in the books that I've got all around me here on the subject, including occult-oriented sex magic, you know, Crowleyan sex magic, the Odu Templi Orientis, Alice Bailey, all the rest of them. You can go back not only to them, but you can go to someone more modern. I mean, dead now, but modern. The Church of Satan and Blanche Barton's book, or the Satanic Bible and the sex rituals and so forth there. And you can look at all of the occultic side, like I mentioned earlier in the week, the Children of God, which is a cult by Moses Berg. This is where they have so distorted Jesus Christianity that actually they're presenting that God's having sex with children. What a blasphemy. And all I can say is payday someday, because you have here deviant, perverted pedophilia in the context of convincing children that Jesus blesses it and all the rest. And then you got priests and others, religious workers, that some of which are chosen ones infiltrated into the church to create the problem, others just, again, given over to deviant issues. Now, what's not talked about a lot in the past, I would say back in the 70s when I was doing my first years of ministry, very little talk about incubus, succubus. I mean, demons coming to men and women and having sex with them and their experiences. I mean, they would have full-blown sexual experiences. I mean, they could describe it. I told in this week's series one story of a professor of a university here, as I met him in a restaurant, as he began to describe a sexual experience with demonic presence. He got to be so graphic in his telling me of it, I had to tell him to shut up. And I don't want to hear no more. This has happened with a few others. And I'm going to tell you from some of the counseling experience that involves deliverance from these demonic spirits raping individuals, primarily women, but it includes men. Does it include children that are brought into homes and situations where maybe rituals were done or open doors were there and there are spirits already in the house and in the rooms, and they get a bedroom that was once used where demonic, sexually oriented, unclean spirits are present? And all of a sudden, they begin to have some kind of weird thing. And sometimes they don't want to tell about it. There are probably women and men listening right now that don't want to tell about it. I'll also tell you this, and I think this is by the Spirit of God's discernment, insight. There are those listening where you have sought the experience. You've gone after the experience. And like this woman that I read, you think it's a good thing. Now, I don't understand how a woman, waiting for her husband to come home from Europe, putting her baby down for a nap, goes off to have her sexual escapade in the astral plane. Actually, probably the second heavenlies, the realm of the demons, fallen angels, and so forth. And so she's out there and sex with a male entity or whatever it was, a group of them, she's having group sex. And then when she's back even home, the presence of an entity is on her. And she even thinks that it's tricking her to think that it's her husband. But that's okay with her. You understand the moral dilemma there? I mean, do you understand the moral decadence there? Do you understand that the prophecy in the Word of God, 2 Thessalonians 2, about satanically oriented, given real, counterfeit, though, signs, wonders, and miracles, all about deceiving as many as possible. If you understand Revelation 12, the spiritual goal of deceit is global. Global. If you do not understand the spiritual nature behind globalism, you will miss every ounce of what the coming globalism and new order is all about. Now, when this woman that I read about tells her story, it's the same kind of thing I dealt with quite a few others. In that scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2, it deals with, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. It says they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So a hard, hard commitment, I mean a absolute walled-off commitment against Christ, against the love of God, against God's approach to redeem and save and love and give the gift of eternal life. Well, that's why people perish. I pray to God right now in Jesus' name that you're not one of them. That you will not be seeking addictive, sexual, you know, hedonistic, and even just simply self-gratification and lose your soul. Jesus said before in the Gospels, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his own soul? The deception spiritually, like in that case I just read, can be so absolutely blinding, affecting a woman or a man's emotion and sexual arousal and entire sexual experience to the point of addiction. To the point where it gets out of control. To the point where a man or a woman who's opened that up can't stop the experiences. coming into the offices over the years, individuals. The only way it stopped, the authority of Christ, the renunciation of the practice, the closing of the doors. Now, I've got 7 points that we're going to go over in the last 15 minutes about how to get rid of all of this. Before we do, let me touch on just a quick history. The issue of sexual rape by the demonic spirits, dark spirits. You go back to Genesis 6. We all have been looking at this for some time. As a matter of fact, in the last 5, 6, 7 years, more has been written about the Nephilim, the B'nai HaElohim that came down and had took the women and raped them and had sex with them and created offspring, mutations, non-humans, by the way. The Nephilim were never human. And you've got to understand that that was more of an invasion to pervert the bloodline and humanity. God bringing about the flood deals with this and saves humanity. You and I must stop for a moment to contemplate and think through the gravity, the heaviness of biblical prophecy. In Noah's day, the moral decadence and the demonic decadence went hand in hand. It became so outlandish that it seemed like the reality of the human race up to that date was deeply entrenched, decadent, dark, lost, addictive, along with, during those days, you know, blood rituals, sex rituals, demonic worship, and then the fallen angels having sex with the women, raping them, and creating offspring that would also go out and take other women. And everything about this was a perversion of God's order and brought about destruction. Please understand this very carefully. The flood was to stop this radical growing evil that would have consumed all of humanity, annihilating humanity. Stopping it by the flood, the judgment, saving and preserving humanity for the sake of the future. You're here because God stepped in at the flood. You and I are here right now because God's saving act, the flood, the ark, and the saving of what was left of humanity, pure humanity. The bloodline of Jesus goes back through all the way to Adam. Untouched by this demonized and then the Nephilim-oriented bloodlines. Now, it's vital for us to understand that because the ark idea and what God did there is a type of salvation in the cross. But it is also very clear. Listen now to the gravity of this. Check it out yourself, Matthew 24. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. While in the very last end of days, in the coming of the Son of Man, of the second coming of Christ. So if you understand, and I understand that, what will the world be like as we approach the visible return of Christ? What is the world becoming like? Looking at Matthew 24, and again, what Jesus teaches there is that all of these signs must be present on a global scale for us to be very close. It pretty much looks like that. All of the things that are listed there. And if part of the evidence of the end of days is that the end of days is going to be just like it was in the days of Noah, then the sexual decadence, sexual perversion, sexual rape, sexual decadence that had darkened humanity into such God-rejecting lifestyles and addictions, that most lost their lives. Are you willing to grip sexual, decadent, perverted addictions and lose your soul? May Jesus Christ engage you, encounter you, show you his love, and break all deception by the demonic realm in Jesus' name. I ask God to destroy the demons, the unclean spirits that are operating on anyone listening to this right now in the name of the living Christ. You can turn to Jesus, ask him to save you, deliver you, fill you with his power, and have him cleanse you and restore you to the right use of the gift of God in the area of sexuality. Now, having said that, point A on the study notes, this idea of sexual rape by demonic spirits. Listen, you can go all the way back. I mean, not only the Old Testament history, but outside of biblical literature, You can find this along the way. You can find this in the arguments about the Knights Templar and about their learning from the Sufis of Hinduism and of India, the gurus and so forth. Look at the gurus of India. Look at the goddesses and goddesses. Look at Tantra. Look at Kabbalistic teachings and sexuality. Look how there is sexual perversion and perverted and addictive decadence is inseparably connected to manifested demonic presence, manifested demonic occult teachings. All the way to the New Testament, Jezebel, in that one local church where Jesus says, hey, church, you're tolerating her. She's in the church. She's teaching occult-oriented demonic doctrine and inseparably leading servants into sexual, occult-oriented sexual perverted practices. There are those out of that seven churches, they were learning the deep things of Satan by experience, by getting into them. And so the Gnostics would, and along the way, all of occultism has developed in that way. There is always an inseparable. It seems as though Satan wants to bring that as part of the manipulation, slavery, and addiction into the elitist secret knowledge that the Rosicrucians, the mystery schools, have offered, even among the Egyptians. Deep occultism, deep dark occultism, where wide open doors of demons, demon-oriented experiences and writings are inseparably connected to demonized sexuality, transference, obtaining of demons, and a perversion of the gift of God to the point of even the point of trying to create a demon-human hybrid. The demons seem to be very clearly interested in it. Fallen angels were clearly interested in it back in the Old Testament. They were here again after the flood. Now, listen, let's move forward quickly and come all the way here to the last, 150 years in occultism. Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, Aleister Crowley, all involved in sex magic, and specifically Aleister Crowley in the area of sex, demons, demonic transfers, energies, powers. I've got books on the subject we're reading. I've listened to those in the world of satanic ritual abuse from Europe, from here in England, Canada, from the United States. I've listened to them tell the same stories. I have watched abreaction in front of me where those who have been through sex with demons, subpersonalities, where they fell to the floor in abreaction to the experience where demons then could come and then advance that personal current experience, that we had to command, stop it, and get the demonic out and pray over the person to get them out of that. Jack Parsons, the rocket scientist that even NASA and others still look to and talk about and named a crater on the other side of the moon, the dark side of the moon concerning him, into deep, dark, satanic, the blackest of black satanic rituals, blood rituals, sex rituals. How about the Babylon working? Now, I don't have time here, but you might want to do a study of that on the web. The Babylon working. You need to see how deeply demonized Jack Parsons, a rocket scientist. So you can be a scientist at NASA. You can be weapons development people in the DOD, in the NSA. You could be working in the CIA and be completely wide open to the demonic realm doing these things. Clear evidence across the board shows it. And when you think in terms of Aleister Crowley, the desire to create a moon child, whether it's the Babylon working where they were trying to invoke the Whore of Babylon and read the ritual while a sexual act was going on, calling for the demons to be joined in that, to be involved in the actual sexual act, the actual conception, and the demonization of the fetus with the goal to either genetically and or by supernatural demonic presence enhance the new fetus, the new coming race. this had a lot to do with the Nazis and Himmler and Hitler and Lebensborn, with the goal of anybody talking about the Aryans, going back to the godlike blood, the godman blood, the Nephilim blood, the Aryans, the whole goal in the actual practices of Lebensborn, the secret birthing centers, some say 400,000, some say 800,000, I say more than that, were in the end of the 30s, beginning of the 40s, and I believe it continued worldwide, that it's directly a part of the current satanic ritual abuse, global ritual abuse phenomenon. 100 million individuals, satanic ritual abuse, the splitting of personality, the demonizing, multiple sex rituals, transference of demonic presence in sex rituals, summoning of demons for the sake of placing in personalities to be highly demonized, energized, empowered to perform sexual acts so they can make money in films, selling off these human slaves to the elite to be used, on and on and on. Bohemian Grove, Monarchs, you know, any of the chosen ones and those coming out of that world, you know, whether it's people in science and military, in psychiatry, you know, and the development of the darker Luciferic oriented stuff. There is no Luciferianism without this kind of sexuality. There is no real deep Satanism, brotherhooders out there, without this kind of sexuality. There's no creation of satanic ritual abuse without this perverted, decadent, demonized, demon conceived, and the inception, the ideas placed for use. Once again, as I said earlier in the week, for the exploitation, for the idea of hammering away at God, the idea of blasphemy, taking the gift of God and using it, blaspheming God in the midst of it. And that's what some of the sex rituals are all about when it comes to Satanist and sex rituals. Now, a lot of these now you're going to see more and more coming out. Not only the New Age astral projectors, the psychic astral projectors, those going in, and again, whether they call it the great universal, the astral plane, the ether, or ether, as the remote viewers call it. And let's do a little exposure concerning remote viewers. Because when I read people like Sapphire, Mastering Time Travel, Voyages Throughout Time, and all the other books they have and others, when we do all this study, they're all connected to the same source. You can call it the collective unconscious. You can call it the field. You can call it the Akashic Records. Whatever you want to call it, the energies, the data, the revelations that you're getting is coming from the entities that encircle the globe. The prince of the power of the Eros, the immediate air, dense atmosphere around, this is where they're at. And the biblical revelation that they will enhance in a massive and constantly, it's going to be more and more speeded up. The closer we get, the faster it all comes down. Kind of like taking a little snowball. You're on top of a hill. You pack a little snowball. You start to put it on the ground and you begin to roll it. Remember as a kid? And as you do, you're going downhill. You roll it more. And it pretty soon it's like the size of 2 feet, 3 feet, four. You know, it can get pretty big. We got them up to, you know, as a kid, we got them up to the level of our neck trying, three or four of us pushing it down a hill. That's pretty gigantic. And once it starts to roll, and as it's going downhill, the faster it goes. That's the idea of the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. The closer to the end, the faster the developments. The closer to the end, the faster the developments. And one of those developments is sexual rape, sexuality by demonic empowerment, by demonic spirits, and then by those practitioners that have learned by vibrations, energies, by non-human enhancement, and I'll say demonic energy, power, able to leave the body and okay, learn things, see things, all that other stuff. Of course, the information brought back is always occult, demonic oriented, that is in direct contradiction, purposely so, to the Holy Spirit's revelation in the Word of God. There's a reason for that. Like this woman, she felt the being, the entity that's, she didn't ask. She just found herself back on her couch, half in a state of physical locality and out of her body, and something's having sex with her. And it might be communicating to her, this is your husband, but he's on a plane coming out of Europe. It's a demon. It is a demon spirit. You see, they perceive you more than you perceive them. If your conscience is blinded, darkened, you're without the Spirit of God, and an entity comes upon you and moves in this direction and gets that close because of your passivity, because of your vulnerability, because you opened a door, because you opened a door to a realm, you have no idea what's there. You have no idea what's really out there. And all of a sudden, the demonic moves from enhancing you, communicating, touch, you know, things like that, to the point of sex. Or, well, let me go over six things real quickly here. Sexual rape by the demonized humans and so forth in occult practices. Let me go over six of these points real quick, and then we'll come back. As we do, I'm going to tell you one story I want you to think about. Years ago, I engaged an individual, young man. Let's call him Mark. That's not his real name, but I'm going to call him Mark. I wrote about him in my book, The Black Awakening, and I wrote about this subject in that book, The Black Awakening, because it's so, it is so prevalent, it is so broad, it is so global. The interesting thing now is on the World Wide Web, it's coming out. But again, the church as a whole is silent. I will say this, I have seen a book, and then somebody sent me a link, of a book written by a Christian on astral attack and how to be free from that. I'm not promoting the book yet or telling you about the author because I already ordered it to read it. I want to be able to scan, you know, read it and see. If I'm going to promote it, I want to be able to know it's okay. But the bottom line is the same spiritual warfare issues of authority and commanding and renouncing. It's the same thing. And I'll go over seven principles about how to get rid of that. If that's happening in your life. But let's go over seven issues. And I'm telling you about Mark. So Mark, I'm dealing with Mark. He is he also was abducted by a chosen one that is now dead in this area that we had eight victims of. This man created subpersonalities. This boy, 19-year-old boy, had been taken to a rave where there was sexual kind of rape by another man, a cult-oriented, demonized man. A demon transferred into this boy. We dealt with that. The demon manifested. We dealt with the demon, the hideous sounding demon, hideous, unclean. You can feel the uncleanness of that demon. I was with the police officer in the room when we commanded that demon out of that boy. And but this boy had so much done to him and still had so much inside of him. He invited me to come to talk to his psychologist. So I go to a meeting, and here comes a blonde-haired 25-year-old girl from the hospital that works at the psych ward here locally. And we, you know, talk for a moment. The boy Mark's in the room and we're interacting you know, we're talking about all that he's gone through. Now, this boy Mark had subpersonalities that would not come out and talk to his psychiatrist that gave him drugs or the psychologist, but I dealt with him and we dealt with the demonization. I didn't see Mark for a couple of weeks, and I go to his house, knock on the door. He opens the door and lets me in. In the middle of the floor, there is a circle of candles that have been lit and used and some kind of other objects, some kind of candle magic, other objects, some kind of ritual setup. I'm looking at him and saying, what are you doing? And he sits down and he tells me that he has been astral projecting because this is what the other demonized chosen one did to after physically raping and physically doing things and connecting by what some people would call a soul tie. This person from a distance, he claims, would by astral projection find him and rape him sexually. So you know what he's doing? Unhealed, undelivered in the sense of totally delivered, he's getting down in a ritual format, going into his passivity and everything else, and astral projecting out. I said, why? To find the lady psychologist. He described finding her apartment, her what her bedroom looked like, what the color of the drapes looked like, what the bed looked like, I looked at him. I already knew this where this was going. I said, why did you do that? He said, to touch her. I said, what do you mean by touching her? He said, to have sex with her. That's one of a number of individuals that I've dealt with. Not only has it been done to them, but unrepentant, delivered, the influence and the slavery to this on a human scale and supernaturally enhanced demonically is off the charts. He's not going to the World Wide Web. He's not going to a prostitute on the street. He's using an occult-oriented form to go out and rape a psychologist. A family calls me in, and they feel like these kind of sexual, sleep paralysis issues are going on. But their apartment is above the Black Sun Camp. This Master Dan and his group is underneath. They've got an entire altar. We did a little bit. I'm not going to go into the counter-infiltration issues, but that's what they were doing. They were, because the woman and her daughters were upstairs, and so there was an astral sexual attack. Let me mention here, in the time that we have left, the six areas. Number one, unwitting demonized issues. When a person who's unwitting of the demon, this is like an incubus, succubus issues, that the demons come or whatever, they don't even know what doors they've actually opened. Maybe they opened some doors in drugs and occultism and so, whatever else, but the demon seeks them and seeks to have sex with them. Many times when people have opened doors to the demonic, the demons want to go further. Number two, there are the witting. That is, those who are willing to be demonized, even in a ritual, whether little or deep ritual, to summon demons to have sex with them, or, point number three, to summon demons to send them to influence others. Now, this is a big area at workplaces and schools, girls in Wicca. I mean, you can find in Wicca, you can find in all forms Luciferian witchcraft, books that I've read from a certain individual. And you can find in voodoo, you can find in sex magic practices, you can find in the Satanic Bible. You can find where the summoning of dark powers and sending to your target to influencing them so that they will desire, it's like mind control, but it's by the power of the demons. It's one thing to suggest. I mean, there's date rape drugs. There are those who suggest things, manipulate, and all kinds of other stuff. But now, on a large-scale practice, there is the summoning of demons and sending of demons so that the demons will convince the prey to come to the predator. There are those that will pay priests, poleros, babalaos, priestesses, and so forth, monies to do this. And very similar to Revelation 16 in the sense of the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, out of their mouth comes demons. They are sent to targets, the kings of the earth. They are an assignment for a particular purpose, and there's real supernatural power. So in this first three categories, there's real supernatural power. Point number three, the willing that actually summon the demons or in spells or rituals to send them or put them in foods, do rituals and put things, potions and stuff in foods and so forth to give to individuals, all for the purpose of, and again, it doesn't make any difference if the man's married to a woman and there's a unsaved occult practitioner woman that wants the man, she don't have any problem. Or vice versa, men. They have no problem being predatory. They just want what they want, and they want to use and allow demons to be used in acquiring these individuals for sexual purposes. There's a lot of astral attack going on in the area of sleep paralysis. There's a lot of astral attack going on, and many Christians don't even know what it is. There are those who are deeper, darker practitioners that know that somebody's a Christian, and they're going to attack them that way. You can find some of that in music like Typo Negative. You can find some of that in electro disco old style music called astral sex. You can find it in some of the lyrics that are coming out, books that are out there, videos that are out there. But the practice, regardless of the skeptics, I don't have any time for skeptics because they can't help anybody. We're only here to help individuals. Point four, demons can arrange sexually oriented demons that want to bring, they can arrange meetings. If all of a sudden you feel like you've met somebody that you have an overwhelming, supernatural, almost a sexual attraction to, and you're ready to break, you know, every boundary, it's very possible the demonic realm to grip you deeper sends experiences that bring moral decadence to your life. What about point five, the satanic ritually abused? Demonized, subpersonalities, highly trained in sexual stuff. Every one of them have been involved in astral sexual sex. Every one of them have parts inside of them that know how to do this. And we're talking 40 million first generation worldwide, Germany, France, all of Europe, Italy, all of the United States and Canada. We're talking a massive, massive issue. I'm trying to bring out the largest, broadest picture so you'll understand how big it really is. If you're just looking at the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg, and if I'm trying to bring out, you know, the 5% of the iceberg sticking out, this iceberg of this satanic black iceberg per se, we could take the word of God and go underneath the surface to take a look at what Satan's going to bring about, which is a lot of demonized, demon-enhanced sexuality on all levels, including, and you're going to find out more of this is happening, and I'm sure that there'll be more pastors and leaders talking about it, and maybe some other stuff written about it. Maybe I'll write some stuff on it too. Astral attack is this. When a person is demonized, whether they know it's a demon or not, they just know it's energy or whatever. Many of them do know it's a demon. They actually leave their body. Counterfeit to Ezekiel, Paul, and John, that's done by the Spirit of God. This is by now demonic empowerment. They can go out and do a lot of things, but in this particular area, they can go out and seek to rape others in the astral realm. To actually go to them, projected out by demonic empowerment, and the idea may have come from the demon, energizing the person's fleshly nature, and they actually go out to do it. There are those that have sat in my office, they confessed doing it. There are those in my office that confessed the actual practice and wanted to get rid of it. There are those that sit in my office, they tell the experience, and they don't want to get rid of it. Well, we have dealt with this subject, and I want to deal with real quick here in the last few minutes, seven things about getting rid of this. Let me go over these real quick so we don't lose them. Number one, has it happened? Are you a victim or not? In other words, are you willing? Did you open a door? You got to renounce that. If you're a victim, you're a victim. You got to find out who's doing this. So point number two, when it happens, usually at night, that seems to be what Jesus says about the evil one working at night. Number three, you got to take your stand, resisting, renouncing, and slamming the door shut. Finding out in that issue of it's something that was in your house or whatever and asking God, is somebody coming here and doing this? Well, number four, in the name of Jesus, command the demons to leave and ask God to destroy them. Number five, ask God to cleanse you and purify you completely in Christ by the blood of Christ and just completely purify you and protect you. Number six, make sure you close all doors. Psalm 139, search me, O God. Close all doors in your own life. And then number seven, by the authority of Christ, attack the attackers. In other words, if you think somebody's attacking you as an astral projecting sexual predator, here's what I've learned to do. When it comes to a astral projection, I say this, command the demon that's empowering them to be stopped, destroyed, crushed, and so forth. Rebuke it all in the name of Jesus. One individual told me this. They said, Russ, when you prayed against the demon and the demon was, you know, stopped and, you know, cast off, it was like my human soul, or they can call it their astral body, was snapped back into the body. When they renounced the practice they were into, they could no longer project out and try to do the harm. Rebuke the demon powers on the attacking astral projector. Ask Jesus to engage them and stop them, whatever it takes. Use your authority in Christ. Now, amazingly, I probably need to do a second part of this. Email me if you're interested. But we might need to do a second part to go over this because we are at the very end of the hour. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, Shadow of the Darkness live broadcast on a Friday night, June the 10th. This was for, though, the Thursday night program. Hey, keep us in your prayers for those believers in Christ. Invest, help, support. That's our commercial. God bless.